Good morning. This past week's daf was daf lamed aleph, and the third parak of Maseches Nedarim. A good nerv yom tiv, special extra kudos to all those who were able to make it here this morning. Lomazen, let's see the mission on top of lamed aleph, lamed aleph. Hanoid mishayv shishavas. Hanoid, of course, makes a neder. Mishayv say Shabbos. He asks himself, "Can have hano from the group called Shayv say Shabbos?" Yeah, Shayv say Shabbos. Also, bishav also bekusim. Zok the Mishnah that kusim are included in this group. This Mishnah, we seem to hold that kusim are proper gedim, and therefore, the mitzvah on Shabbos. So he's also in Yisrael and kusim, and the reason why the Mishnah will see is speaking out kusim is because that there is a difference. Akoponim, the Mishnah alludes to a different group called akum, goyim. Right, so if someone has never mishav shishabbos, he's also be yisrael, also be kusim, but he's mutter ba'akam, can be good anymore. Me'oich le'shum, me'oich le'shum. Those that eat shum, garlic eaters. Now, what is this referred to? Right, so it's more that this refers to the takonas Ezra. Lel Shabbos. Achila Shum. His vayta over here also be Yisrael, also be Kusim. However, Zot Mishnah, Yoyle Yerushalayim, if he's noida from Oyle Yerushalayim, the group of Oyle Yerushalayim, this already is where it's Cholok. This one makes names. Also be Yisrael, Mutu be Kusim. Kusim are not Oyle Yerushalayim. Zokt the Gemara. My Shayv Se Shabbos. Zok the Gemara, what is this category of Shayv Se Shabbos? Ilema me mekayim Shabbos. If it just refers to that, those that are fulfill the Shvisa, they rest on Shabbos. My because my fila akum nami. Zok the Gemara, if Shayv Se Shabbos just refers to those who practice some kind of a Shvis on Shabbos, it would include Akum also. Right? Interestingly, even though the practice of Akum, even those that are whatever they do, whatever their Shayv Se Shabbos, but I'm sure it does not cover what all the Din and Shabbos that we have. Nevertheless, it seems to think more that Shayv Se Shabbos would refer to anyone whose Shabbos means some sort of day of rest, of abstaining from something, would include that. Right, and therefore the Gemara says, my Yabukusim, I feel of the Chav Nami. Elo must be. Right, so what are you hearing that?
He's not supposed to be
Shabbos the way we're Shabbos, right? Right. But I think what we're talking about over here, like we mentioned before, I don't think we're talking about a goy who is Shabbos and is within our guidelines.
But even if he's partially Shabbos, still he's neither. He's neither. He cannot have from.
Well, one thing, the Mishnah, this Mishnah over here, right, by process of inferring, says that someone who's noida for Shabbos is mutter by Togai. That's the Mishnah says, right? Right, those who are able to read through the lines, right, should be learning from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that someone who's noida for Shabbos is mutter to a guy. And we're trying to figure out why is that so, right? What is this category? How do you get into this elite group called Shavsei Shabbos. So that the Gemara says. So if it just refers to the Gemara says that someone that Shabbos is a day that he changes his routine, he's regarding the day as a special day, then that should include Akum also. Akum also. Now, just what came to my mind, maybe someone could tell me about this, that what day do the Goyim keep? Do they keep Shabbos, or is it like a Sunday?
Seventh-day Adventists, they do also the Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But of course it's not like ours. But
the others are, it's a Sunday? What day of the week is it? Or is it?
Yeah. Muslims are Friday.
Oh, ooh. Yeah?
Uh-huh. Who does Friday?
Muslims.
Oh yeah, Muslim Friday.
Right. So it just occurred to me that when the Gemara is saying Soviet Shreif Shabbos, does it necessarily mean day seven, or it just means, you know, what the Gemara is contemplating over here, right? That if it meant just those that are Shavis, so it should include Akam also. You know, the Shabbos necessarily referred to by us, it's day seven because we're Shavis on Shabbos. But, you know, in talking in the context of someone who, you know, regards a certain day of the week as something, yeah, then it could be that it could refer to a different day also. There's Yom HaShvi in the Shabbos, right? Our Shabbos is on Yom HaShvi, but, yeah, okay.
Well, Rashi is saying, of the Kachalim, Av HaPish, Mesharmim Shabbos, and, oh, you're saying, so maybe that Shabbos is maybe a Sunday.
Yeah. So Kenza. Okay. Akoponim that since things that our Mishnah, from our Mishnah says, what will make it, it says, right? The our Mishnah says that a Goy, right, that a goy, he's mutter to be net and then from a goy, so the goy does not fit into the category of Shavis Shabbos, even if he is a Shavis of Shavis Shabbos. So that's what we're trying to figure out. What are the conditions to get into this group? What's the membership membership requirements, right? Zot the Gemara, Elo mimitzuvim al Hashabbos. Yeah. Zot the Gemara. Awesome. So must he say, if we're not including a goy, it must be because a goy is not mitzuva. That's what we mean. Those who are commanded on Shabbos, right? Those are the shavs of Shabbos. Ihochin. Zot the Gemara. If that's so, Ema Seifa. The Seifa Mishnah said earlier, Yerushalayim also be so mutu bekusim. Amai. We're assuming over here that the Shayv Se Shabbos, Rechleishum, all the things in this Mishnah are those that are, it's the same requirements. So Zotimora, so you'll tell me that Shayv Se Shabbos don't include a Goy because Shayv Se Shabbos refers to those who are commanded, right? Commanded. Alright? A Goy doesn't have a commandment on it. So, Fatih Gemara, well, if that's so, so now we're talking about Oile Yerushalayim, right? The Alila Regel, is being that Kusim are Gedim, so they are Mitzuv on it. So, why does the Mishnah say that Kusim are not included in the group of Oile Yerushalayim? That's the Gemara's question. Zok the Gemara, Elo Amar Abayim. Mitzuva v'oisa katani. That when we talk about Shev Shabbos, this Mishnah, that in order to be included in this group, we need to be a mitzuva v'oisa. That there is a tzivoy and there is a fulfillment of the tzivoy. Is the
chazor. A Jewish person that doesn't keep Shabbos.
Okay, one second. We'll get there. We'll get there in a second. Okay, very good. Very good. Very good thing. Let's just do more. I want to talk about that. Yeah? Okay? Yeah, but Tati Bavi Kamaisa Yisrael Vakusim Tzuvim Vayisim. So the first two Bavis, right? The reason why he says that he's also Yisrael Vakusim, because the Shavuot, the Shavuot of Shabbos, and the Achila Shum. These two things are Mitzuvim Vayisim. Now we mentioned that Achila Shum is the Takonas Ezra. So the mitzuvin, what we're referring to over here is, as far as the takanas Ezra is concerned, right? That the lesosa or whatever it is goes into that, right? As it's sivui, all right. There's a and they do they are mekayim it. Cool. However, goyim, as far as that's concerned, right? Definitely not mitzuvah.
But it seems like there's something interesting there. I mean, the Kusim didn't keep all of the Durabanans.
Right?
Well, there's a Durabanan, and they kept it.
It's a machlokes we showed them, but more of it, it's, if they kept this, this was the only one they kept.
Okay.
They only kept the written Torah.
Yes, that's what Michael's raising, his point over there. That, right? Right?
That's exactly my point.
Right.
Nevertheless, they're called the Mitzuvah V'Oseh.
The mitzvah v'oseh. What are you hearing that?
Meaning, I would have thought the fact that they're doing it isn't because they're mitzvah. They're doing it because they decided that this is what that it made sense to them. They're not doing it because Ezra made a takana. Because Haraya, they don't keep any of the others. So why should they be called a mitzvah v'oseh? Nevertheless, they seem to be called a mitzvah v'oseh.
So yeah, specifically on the garlic one.
Yeah.
Now this is a little point. So let's just raise oy bazoy the what one could be misapic over here, right? Now, Michael's question, I believe, is taking on the assumption that mitzvah va'oseh there's a correlation between one and the next, right? That means that the oseh is because of the mitzvah. Right, which probably is the pashtus, right? But once he raises this point, right? So now maybe one could start thinking that maybe that's not necessarily what this is. Maybe these are two things which are maybe not necessarily interconnected. Meaning to say that he's a mitzvah and he's a oisa, even though his oisa maybe is not because of the mitzvah, right? Right. Okay, but that is a point. See, Michael over here is really referring to a famous piece in the Rabbeinu Yoneh. Rabbeinu Yoneh says that if someone's a mumer levarechad, it means he keeps klal Torah kula. But one thing he's just that doesn't work for him, right? And that thing is just totally hefty, right? It's, you know, it just doesn't count. So he's considered a mumer, and the reason is, as Michael says, because if he decides that he's not doing this, then everything else, the reason why he's doing it, because he decided that's okay, that he'll do that. Not because, you know, he's commanded, because he's not subservient to the commandment, because this thing, this other thing he's not doing, right? So that's kvar shovar oila doinov, right? Very good. So that's what Michael was referring to, right? This Rabbeinu Yoneh. Therefore, you know, over here, you know, definitely over here, it's the other way, right? This is the only one that they're doing, right? So definitely, it's only for personal, you know, reasons, not because they machshiv that takanas chacham, right? Maybe they just, you know, like the idea, but there's nothing to do with the fact that it's a takanas Ezra.
I mean, you said shavar oil adonav, breaks
the yoke of the master, it's broken. Mean to say, no, the yoke of the master is that you're subservient to the master, right? If you're doing it, you know, on your own, you're not carrying the yoke. Not carrying the yoke. It just happens to be that in this, you know, in this area, it happens to be that you're doing the same thing that, you know, he commanded. But it's not. It's not because of that.
Yeah, by one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so we're just going to go over here. Simora says that the category of that we're talking about, that the Mishnah, when a person is neither, it's a tarting. There's two things. That means that it's a, you know, two requirements. It's a mitzvah voice. So now the Gemara makes, you know, just calculates the Mishnah for us. Therefore, the first two bovis, these are things that Yisrov Kusim Mitzuvim Vois. I mean, Akum. Ahuda Avdi Oisim Ve'ena Mitzuvim. Right? So that explains why by a guy is not included. Because even if he does, but he's not a mitzvah. Ba'ele Yushalayim, Yisrael mitzvah, Va'isin kusim mitzvah, Ve'enam oisin. So this is the answer. The difference by a kusim is now that we're saying that when a person refers to Shavsei Shabbos, Chayzei Chleishum, when we refer to things that people do, so we're referring to the fact that there's a tzivi on it. Right? That's what we're referring to. Tzivi and they're doing. So therefore, we need those two requirements. So by early Yerushalayim, since that's something that the Kusim did not practice, they're not a mitzvah voice, and therefore they're not included in the group of Eilei Yerushalayim. That's why he's mutter. Now let's just see the Ran over here, and then we'll get to discuss about the Yoel Shaila. Yeah, Oivdei Kachavim Nami, Kloimar, Havel Lemisni Osa B'Mekayme HaShabbos, Kidei Sheyu B'Chlal Kol HaOivdei Kachavim HaShavsin. I mean, the Mishnah just talks about Kusim, right? So the reference, the Mishnah would seem to imply that Goyim not, because otherwise it should have said that he's also in the Mekayim Shabbos. So that's why the Mishnah would seem to say that it's not, and that's based on the Mora's question. Om Rabaya Mitzuva Vayisa Katani Kloimer She'ein Bechlal Dvar Be'elo Mitzuvim Vayisim, that the conditions that he's referring to when a person uses these terms is a mitzvah and a oisa. So, Zokta Rambitat Kamaisa, Dahanu Shvisa, Shabbos, Vachila, Shum, Yisrov, Kusim, Mitzvah, and Oisim. And Akum is not. And the last Bov in the Mishnah, Eli Yerushalayim, that does not include the Kusim because they don't practice that. Now, Rabbi Yoel wants to know that if we have the mission definitely is mashma that he's also in Israel, in all Israel. That would be mashma as the Mishnah. But what about someone who's not a Shomer Shabbos? What about a Jew who's not a Shomer Shabbos? So he's a mitzvah, but he's a ein oisa. It would seem to be he would be like the kusim concerning Eile Regolim, right? that's the point that he's raising. As a matter of fact, once you're oichle shum, or maybe even taka the Eli Yerushalayim. We could wonder about that. Because these tivuyim, who are they said to? Eile Yerushalayim, it's a mitzvah shes man grama, noshim na mitzvah, an ali the regal. So when we say that he's osur be Yisrael, zemi dafkes chorim, right? Or nekevis also.
You also have to own land, right?
What?
You have to own land
there, sister? There are different... You need to own land.
You have to be able to see, you have to be able to walk, you have to be able to...
I mean, there's a halacha of...
There's people excluded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, okay, right.
That's okay.
Now, Oichle Shum also, right, who is Bechlal this... who's Bechlal this... The takana of Eichel Shum has to do with the mitzvah of Puruvu, right? So it probably was only said, really, because said the people who are married, I would think.
People who are not married to eat shrimp fried also.
Yeah. Oh,
so
hey.
There's other
timing
also.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Who says it?
Like hidden reasons, the Vilna Gaon.
But
Ovla Shum is because the Oina of a Talmud Chacham is Friday night to Friday night. But what percentage applies to a Talmud Chacham?
So the message is that the Zman. I don't think that the Inner Tamil Chochm really is Pamachas B'Shavua. Now, if it's Pamachas B'Shavua, so then the period Yitim B'Yitoy is Lel Shabbos. But theoretically, that would refer to anyone whose Zman Oina is at least once a week. So really could include others also. What were you saying? What do you say, Michael? I see you're not
the general shiloh, whether it includes everybody or includes only the people who do it.
Yeah. What do you hold about that?
To me, there are three different issues here.
Okay.
I guess I would have thought it seems like it just includes everybody, that Yisraelim are called Shovtei Shabbos, and that it means all Jews. That's the way I was understanding.
Okay, one second. Let's just speak out what you just said right now. You said something very important. Okay, I mean, according to what I understood, that we're not referring to specific people over here. We're talking to groups of people, right?
Just like somebody who's mulam is
very good. Yeah. Okay.
Anywhere else, a brismila.
Oh, mulam.
Okay, we'll see about it. Yeah, right. We'll get to there. But right. So therefore, Michael is saying same portion that we could still learn that we're definitely talking about everyone, but if you belong to the group that is a mitzvah va'isa on this, it could be that this specific person is not not a mitzvah, he's not oisa, whatever it is, but that's not going to. Kusim, let's say, as far as the other regal, they were their own group and they conducted themselves in their own way. So we wouldn't. That's how we would be mechalk between someone who is a non-religious Jew and a kusi, right? Kusi, that was that was their practice, right? As a group, right? So their practice carved out a group by themselves, right? So therefore, they wouldn't be bechlau the Eri Golem, because they're a group by itself who don't do that. But even a non Shomer Shabbos Jew, we wouldn't consider them as a separate unit, right?
I have a qualification on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that in those days, probably Rove Klal Yisrael were keeping Shabbos, and so Klal Yisrael as a whole were called Shovtei Shabbos, and therefore they were all in the Klal. I'm not sure Bezman Hazeh, when only perhaps maybe a third of Klal Yisrael keep Shabbos. I'm not sure that.
Yeah. See, the truth of the matter is that once you're saying that, I mean, today we talk to have this term of Shomer Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right. So that definitely we're excluding people who don't right. Akoparim. So that one could wonder.
Some of his Machal Shabbos for Hester is wine is Yain Nesach.
Okay. Okay.
So he doesn't have obviously a din of. He's not really
Bechlal Yisrael. That's an interesting horror.
There are dinim. There are
he can be counted for a minion, but he's not.
Right. I always say call Osa Maisa Amcha. That's.
But that's.
Maybe that's different from what he's saying by.
Yeah, because I don't know if that is necessarily puts him into a different category. That's like a specific condition in certain halachas that don't apply. He's not a Isma'i Se'amcha. Akapanim. Okay, but this is one of the three. We want to hear the other.
Oh well, that qualification was the second.
Oh,
that's the second.
Oh, yeah, part. Yeah. Okay.
Right. I think my third horror really goes against my shita, which is that if you would be holding the other way, and I'm really kind of going back to a child that we had last week, is that if you would hold the other way, that it's only people who mamish keep Shabbos, it seems to me that it's at that time that he makes the shvuah. And the same thing with Ochle Shum, meaning if you would say Ochle Shum is only for people who are married, you know, not according to the Gro, that and so people who were single at the time that he made the neder would be mutter, I think, even afterwards, even when they would get married.
Do we know if the Takanas Ezra, and we know it was because the Ona for Talmid Chachamim were on Shabbos, but was it for all people or for just
all Jewish men? Sure.
Right, so that's
only men though, not ladies.
Okay,
oh, that's
the makor for dips.
Right, so then I don't think it would. I don't think there would be a difference between if you know a person's single or not. I mean, just like the kusim, probably the takana. You know, if it only applied to talmidei chachamim, I don't know how many talmidei chachamim the kusim had. Right, so in lachar it's.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay.
Okay, so that who the takana was said to, or not right, that I guess one should that could be mevar, right? I wasn't saying that definitively.
But just on the first issue, you know, like a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew, so can't we just? I mean, wouldn't it be a straightforward raya from the Arelim or the Mulim that we're dealing with categories and not individuals? Why would there be a swara to be machalik between the, you know, the Gemara? Probably everyone was Shomer Shabbos in those days, so it didn't have to ask the question there. But we know that there's certain people that are pater from from Bris Milah, so that's why the Gemara waited to bring that chiddush there. But
okay, so we'll see. Let's get to there, and then we'll see. We'll see whether that is all right, a proof to this over here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's this first Mishnah.
Did other people have other opinions? I mean, if you listen to my opinion, but maybe or those who disagree.
Now, I just want to point out just one other thing over here. And as we said that, you know, as you see from the Gemara that the Mekayim Shabbos could have included Akum, even though definitely their Kiyum is not our Kiyum. But if Shev Shabbos meant just referred to Mekayim, it would have been in whatever form they do it. That would be sufficient. Because the truth is that the Kusim also, right, at the point that was mentioned before, their Shmir Shabbos also doesn't look like ours, right? If they're not adhering to Drabonans, so you know, very very limited, exactly what their Shvisa is. But safe for safe, they're Shev Shabbos, whatever it is, and therefore, it's considered a shame of a tzum va'isa.
So I mean, what's the whole discussion here in the machlokas? Is it what these were, what the person, what rove people mean when they say these words, or is it more of a getter of an absolute definition of what?
Very
these
good,
words
very
mean?
Good. So these are the two studies that
we keep coming back to.
Back to.
The dharma is
okay.
The whole concept of the dharma.
Okay, so that's what we. So when people say shovtim, they mean a metuvah vose.
But just
that's what Abai is saying.
You use the word machlokas, but I don't think we had a machlokas here, did we? Right?
Oh, okay, maybe not. Yes. Yeah, okay. The
issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. But that's right. That's a fundamental question that we always have to.
I mean, I would have thought Pashtus,
that we don't have a
machlokas. I meant as a
that it means like the kusim keep on the seventh day, but they don't keep the same, right? The kusim, but goyim who keep Sunday or another day, Friday, I would think Pashtus that it doesn't include them because
I think Pashtus Shabbos, the Gemara said. Maybe even goyim. It meant that goyim keep our Shabbos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
I was saying, and not anyone who keeps a Sunday or a Friday.
Yeah, okay.
I would think that.
Okay, okay, okay. That would be right. Maybe the Muskel Rishon.
Yeah.
Right. But after we investigate, we have to see to see if that is just because, it just hit us like that, any real basis, when we talk about this term, Pashtus, what does Pashtus mean? Pashtus probably should mean, with some thought, right? Not just necessarily just what hit us, right? The term is altered a little bit, but so akoponim one taku could okay like we mentioned before we're not gonna review this over again, okay, whatever we mentioned before that's one could contemplate what was then zok the mishnah weiter koinim sheni nena livnei noyach. Right? He made a ned over. He's not being having hanor from b'nei noyach. Amuta b'Yisrael. For osur v'ev dekechovim. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us that the category of b'nei noyach do not include Yisrael, and he's osur in goyim. They're in the category of b'nei noyach, but not Yisrael. Fretig mo v'Yisrael minofik mechlav b'nei noyach. Fretig one second. B'nei noyach, right? Everyone is a b'nei noyach, right? The rest of the world was destroyed. Anyone who is here today is only from a descendant of on the contrary, right? It's yeah. So why we definitely are descendants of noyach? Zok the Gemara. Even the Iskri Shavrom, the Ikti Shavrom, Iskru al Shmei. Zok the Gemara, that's true. True, of course, everyone is a descendant of Noach. But even the Ikti Shavrom, that was an interesting term over here, right? Iktish. Probably in this sense, it means like that he was set aside. That's the Lashon of Kedusha, right? Kedusha, the actual meaning refers to a set aside, right? It might be for better, for worse, cut above, cut below, right? Whatever it is, right? We find that the term is used in a positive and then also in a negative sense. Kivin d'iklish Avrom iskri al shmei. Avrom, right, with his unbelievable what he accomplished, his recognition and his subservience to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that he was as Chazal Taka tell us, right? Avram HaIvri, right? Kolam Kloy, right, was on one side, he was
but on the other. No one refers to Kalaiso as B'nai Avram, we refer to as B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yaakov, but I never heard us refer to as B'nai Avram. In fact,
what the Gemara is saying is that at the point that this group broke away from Noach was Ikdish Avram. Right? Right. That's what we're saying. So therefore, when we're referring to Bnei Noach, you know, we're not anymore Bnei Noach.
Right.
Now,
but it says Ikra al Shmei, we're called on the name of Avram. Do you ever hear Jewish people refer to as Bnei Avram?
Is it Avram Yitzhak Yaakov?
Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, yeah. Just, you ever heard Bnei Yisrael referred to as Bnei Avram?
Mm-hmm, okay. Iskru al Shmei. Yeah, Sakoponim. So this is talking an important idea, an important concept that there was at that point really a separation, right, between Avram and the rest of the world. So even though definitely we come from the same origin, but at a certain point. And this one, you know, talk more about it in a deeper sense. how the world was created for a purpose, and that purpose maybe could have been accomplished by Adam Harishon himself, and you know he didn't. And as the Psukim tell us, that the generations really.
Declined.
Right, and they were far from the purpose and the level that they were created on, and that tkufa that the Psukim talk about in the 120 years, this form tells us this was the opportunity to once again bring themselves back into the position that the purpose of the world could have been accomplished through them. And there was only one person that took that opportunity. It was Avram, and he brought himself back to a certain degree to the level, right? And that was this separation over here. It's a real thing, even though in the superficial view it looks like we have the same body parts, etc.
What if you would be noter from Bnei Adam?
Okay.
Does that include Yisrael or it doesn't include Yisrael?
It's only Yisrael, it doesn't include the Bnei.
Atem Kriyim Adam. Okay.
Okay,
so let's see. So that's the Gemara tells us over here. Kiven the Iskru Shavrom, Iskru al Shmei. So in the category, in the titles. In the titles, there's the Bnei Noach, and then we have Yisrael and the different names of Yisrael. Back upon him, Klal Yisrael is not included in the Bnei Noach.
So, snapshot that we have seven Mrs. Bnei Noach plus another 606. We're not Bnei Noach plus. We're a separate. Separate entity where
Bnei Avram. Okay, I mean, but what you're saying is true. I'm not sure if we would have taken that out of this Gemara, but there are sugyas which talk about that.
Right.
Right.
What about before Har Sinai? There are those on the staff who want to ask why Moshe was Chayiv Mavis.
Yeah,
and they want to say because he was really in the din of Bnei Noach.
That's right, and the Chayiv Mavis doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. So the whole thing was a sakana. It's not this week's stuff. It's next week's stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Okay, I think the Choveris brings it down at the end of this time.
Yeah, so that would be maybe a proof that these two things are not necessarily dependent on each other, because even after, until Matan Torah, you know, Klai Yisrael was Mechuyev and Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, right? So that those Tzivuyim, you know, talk to them, everyone else. So that's not necessarily dependent on this Shem that we're talking about.
Meaning they still would not have been considered Bnei Noach. Even though they were
from
Chiyuv Adin, they were Bnei Noach, but they were not called Bnei Noach.
Right. Mm-hmm, very good.
Before Har Sinai, would you have been Usher if you were Nodir from Bnei Noach before Sinai, and were saying that the Yidden were Chayev in the Onish and the Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, would you have been Usher in Yidden? They're saying no, because they still weren't called Bnei Noach, even though they were Mishum Adin, they were Bnei Noach, but they weren't called that. That's what we're suggesting.
That was based on Mishum
Adin.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're saying. So even though maybe what you said is true, but not for this reason, because definitely after Avraham, they were still in the status of Bnei Noach as far as what they were mitzvah on. Okay, very good point. Very good point. Let's see. Zogt.
But he wasn't.
Wasn't a tzuva, but he was. Okay. Let's see. Zogt around. Koinem and Shenin Nedim Vein Lech, Mutav Yisrael, Vavagav Yisrael, Nami Ben Lech, Ninhu Kivan, the Iskadish Avrom Avinu, Ikru Al Shmei, Veloy Al Shem Noyach. Let's see. Zot Mishnah. Right. The next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is as follows. Sheni Nel Zer Avrom. Zer Avrom. Okay. This is the category that he's answering. Zer Avrom. Zot Gemara. Osur Bisroel Umutur Ba'akum. Zer Avrom. Okay. So this is a term. Zer Avrom. Right. You were mentioning before. You know. Bnei Avrom, Akoponim, this Mishnah, right, the person here has this category, he calls it Zer Avrom. Zok the Mishnah that he's only also be saw in Mutter Ba'akum, Frekti Gemor, Viki Yishmoel, Frekti Gemor Avrom, you know, had more than one son. Alright, so the Yishmaelim and all their descendants, they should be Zer Avrom. Zok the Gemor, Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikor Lechazora. The Pasuk state, Bi Yitzchak Yikor Lechazora. So that means that the Zer Avrom, the Pasuk tells us, right? Yitzchak Yikor Lechazora. True that Yishmael came from Avrom, but Zer Avrom is Yitzchak.
Anyway, the Yishmael came from Hagar, and Hagar was a Shivcha. And a Shivcha, the child of a Shivcha goes with her. It doesn't go with the father.
Right, but the nether is Zera Avram, and literally speaking,
it's not Yachis to Avram. A Shivcha's children are only after her. It doesn't go after the father, whoever the father is.
What only goes after?
Why didn't Abraham complain? Why didn't he say to Sarah, "What are you giving me a Shivcha for? It's not going to be on me anyway."
So
that she should be zaka for her own children. She was bringing a tzara b'sof pesa, which I don't know why that's a zchus.
So one second, so you have to verify a little bit more. You're relating concepts lachar matan Torah to before matan Torah, right?
Or ben Noach. So. It should be Ben Mrs. Noach. We're talking about a Metzius here.
You also have a problem with four of the Shvatim.
B'chlau, you know, what do you know what the status, you know, exactly what was,
well,
right?
It became Yoruses.
Okay, so what do we know about Hagar, right? Right? Right, so there's a few things over here we have to verify before we.
She became a Yeris, then her children will be Jewish.
Jewish? What is?
They'd be it would be Zara Avram if she was Jewish.
But, I mean, not any more than the Esav, right? Okay, so what was then? Let's see. So the Gemara asked the question about Esav, reflecting more. Okay, granted, ki Yitzchak kol chazora, and Yishmael's out of the picture. Okay, but even Yitzchak, the Zera Yitzchak, zok the Gemara. Vika Esav, zok the Gemara, bi Yitzchak v'loy kol Yitzchak. Right, so in that same pasuk, bi Yitzchak kol chazora, just like it excludes Yishmael, so by the same token, Esav is excluded. And they are not considered Zera Avram, Zera Yitzchok. Yeah. I think we just to mention one point of it. There's something to talk about. This idea, I don't know too much about this, so you know, I don't mean to make a discussion out of it. But this one talk about the fact that we find Taka that of the Ovis, of the Gimel Ovis, that Avram had a Yishmael and Yitzchak had an Esav, and Yaakov was Mitosa Shleimo, right? And this one talk about how there was a cleansing process, we'll call it, right? Any lacking of purity, the Tzad HaKdusha was sort of funneled out in Yishmael and Esav. So when we're talking about Yikor L'Chazora, it's not just a title, but in the essence, there was Taka. The Zera Avram, you know, the had the kedushas, the full kedushas of Avram, and Yitzchak, for that matter, right, was Taka these. Okay, let's see. Zokt.
Do you consider this to be separate from the fact that the brachas were given this way, or it's totally habaha? It's the same issue.
I didn't fully follow that.
Meaning
the brachas.
Meaning Yaakov got the bracha and Esav did not get the bracha of the bechor.
The bechor
Yitzchak also was given those brachas from Avraham. Is it talui habaha?
Did Yitzchak feel that Yishmael was Zara, and that's why he gave it? Is that what you're suggesting? Esav, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of asking that. Is that right?
So, I mean, I
Or
I,
is
I
that, would maybe
he's
asking the other way.
Only to Esav.
Is it what?
He was going to give the brothers only to Esav.
Right. Meaning, is it that we're the Zera because we got the brachas, or no? Even if Yitzchak had gone ahead and given them to Esav, it still would have been the way.
Yes, that's what I would have thought. I would have thought that Yitzchak was well aware that, you know, be Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak, and he had his cheshbonis why, even though Esav was not Zera, maybe because Esav was not, and that he wasn't destined there. That's how we are mekubal. From the Shir of Aaron Zatzal, that his cheshbon was on the contrary, because each one had a different purpose. Yaakov Avinu would carry the level of kedusha, and Esav did not have that, and he would be involved in the material aspect to support. Right, something like that, right. So,
but it says in the pasuk that Yitzchak loved Esav and Rivka Heva says Yaakov. It doesn't say Yitzchak loved Yaakov.
But Aval, it's poshut that it doesn't mean to the exclusion, right? what the pasuk means that he also had an appetite to Esav, and Rivka didn't. Yeah. Okay. Lomazin. Okay. Let's see over here the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. She'eni nenem Yisrael. Oh. Zok this Mishnah. Let's hear. She'eni nenem Yisrael. Zok the Mishnah. Person makes a nether. He's not going to be nenem Yisrael. Okay. So, no, that will include all Yisrael. In Zok the Mishnah, so now what does he do? How does he buy his groceries? Right? How does he go on? Zok the Mishnah. Loikeach b'yoyis ha-moich b'pochus. Zok the Mishnah. So let's just see what the Mishnah says. I'm trying to understand it. Right? The Mishnah tells us that since he asked her, there's a problem of buying and selling according to the market price. So that in itself maybe would have been a chiddush to us. At you know when you're buying something, you're selling something, so there's an exchange over here. Is that considered a hano? Are you being nene? So you see from the Mishnah that there is a hano. We'll see more about it in the Gemara. But the Mishnah tells us that in a sale, the moicher, this Mishnah would be seen to be suggesting that in a sale, the moicher and the lekech are both considered a nene, one from each other. Simple understanding to that would be that each one has their purpose, that what they want to accomplish. The lekech, granted that he's paying for something, but his need is to have a certain item. He can't the fact that he can't the money that he has is not going to help him get the benefit that he needs, and transferring his money into the item, right? and now because of that moicher he has what he wants, even though he's paying for it in full, right? It's still considered that he's nene from that person, and in the other way, when the moicher is selling something, that the moicher's point is that he has an item which he doesn't need the item for him. What he wants is to have the money, and so that's what he's been in, and that's what the Mishnah over here would seem to be saying.
So they're both nene.
What?
You're saying they're both nene.
Both nene, right? Definitely, Mishnah says they're both nene. Now, what we need to know is like this: is that the Mishnah says, now if that's true, the Mishnah says that the way we negate the hanor is by changing the pricing. Right, let's just talk about one thing at a time.
One proof that changed when the
other. One second. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, right. So the Mishnah said, let's say the lekeach, right? Lekeach. So if the lekeach is buying at the going rate, so the Mishnah says that he's a nene. Right? Now if he pays more, so now the Mishnah says he's not a nene anymore. Right? So one has to ask, according to the line of reasoning that we're using, that if he's anyways paying, right, and we're saying, but his hano is because he can't eat his money and he needs food, so that his moicher facilitated him, and that's a hano. So now that he's paying more, how does that change things? Right, even if he be paying more than a pruta, right? Yeah, but he's still nene. What changed? Yeah.
I have a question even stronger the other way by the moicher.
Okay.
Because I don't know how it was in those days, but nowadays everybody who sells something always gives a discount, gives a sale, or this and that, and they're still selling it for a profit, but now. So they give 10% off, but they're very happy to sell it at 10% off. It sounds like they're thrilled. So you tell me that they give one drop below the market value. Suddenly, it's considered they didn't get any hana.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's try to understand it, and we'll have to work out both sides. Moicha and lekeich, right?
Yeah, I can understand this. I'll be very happy.
Okay, okay. We wanted to discuss this a little bit over here. So.
Yes, yeah, I know.
So I'll tell you how I would think along which lines that. It's taka difficult to understand, you know, if we're gonna say just dealing with the moich and lekech over here, if it was a hano till now by paying more, what happened to that hano? So what I think that we need to bring into the equation is maybe a little larger picture, meaning to say like this, is that there's a question of was he nene? Now there's another issue means that could I consider that I was nene from you? Right? It was as follows. That this lekeach, right? The going rate is such and such, right? So if you know everyone's selling it at this rate, so then it was seen something more that whoever you're getting it from, you know, you're nene from. But if you're paying more for this person and you could have gotten that same thing from someone else for less,
who's one table over,
or whatever it is, right? Hmm. Right? Right? So then it was seen, the pshat is that being that I could have gotten the same thing without, you know, having to pay this. So I'm not considered an nana from you, right? That's what this is.
Even though you are getting hana, but you're not helping me.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
In fact, I'd be better off if I went to somebody else. Right. I would have paid the market value.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So all the options, right, and is what I have in front of me and how I could get this item, right? Right. If I'm getting this item from you in a negative way, something right which has a downside to it.
The higher price.
The higher price, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't say he's not going to get hana from the Chepes, he says not getting hana from the Yisrael. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Make that point. That there are differences in that. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're not being Mahanami, right? That's how we try to understand.
You didn't do me any favors. Mm-hmm. I could have gotten it from the other guy for the market value.
Right.
So why don't you say that even when you're saying paying the same price? You were Mahanami. I could have gone to the next store over and gotten the same price. Nothing to do with you.
So it would seem to be that if the pricing is all the same, so that's not a reason to negate what I got from him. Even though you're right, you know, I could have done the same thing by someone else. But now that you did do it by him, so we would relate that hano to the giver. Only if, like in this situation, that he's taka paying more, right? Then I see that you're not really helping me from the fact that I could have gotten the same thing in an easier way from someone else.
Well, you also have to mix in the cheshbon. Whether it's in high demand or low demand, and something that, you know, whether...
That you refer to the Hemshcha Gemara? Yeah, okay, remember, we'll get there.
So whether there were no other sellers of this object, right? A painter makes a painting, you buy a painting from someone, he's the only one you can buy it from.
Right. So according to the way I'm explaining that, it's only in relation to the fact that there are other options, so then things might be different. Meaning to say that maybe it's still considered hano. So that's what I was saying. I brought into the picture the fact that there are other options, right? And therefore it'll be an afmina if you don't have other options, right? Now, did you have a different way of understanding this? You know, more without having to come
up. I was left not understanding it. That's his name. The way I mean, similar to what the Rav said, the way I said it is that, or thought of it is that by the very nature of the fact that you bought the item from, right, that the seller sells the item and you bought the item, means that to you the item is worth more than the money, and to the seller it's worth less than the money, so both are nana after the transaction, whatever the price is, or whatever the market is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's say they sold it at a loss.
Whatever it is, but he, if he sold it at a loss, but
he bought it for 10, he sold it for 9.
It doesn't matter what he bought it at, is at this moment, the money is more important to him than the object, or else he wouldn't have sold it.
Yeah, but you can say that even if you sell above or below the market value. That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was my problem. Yeah. I'm not saying that answers it.
So if there's no one else you could have bought this from, this is the only guy you could have bought it from, then this sfar doesn't work?
Yeah. This sfar should be dependent on that. Mm-hmm. I would think so.
In a remote place, this is the only guy who has an esrog or a matzo or whatever, so you've got to buy it from him. So he charged you double, but you're still getting hanok because you didn't have an opportunity to get it from somebody else. Yeah.
That's what we're saying, right? And you know, if there's a mashmois somewhere that it's non-dependent on another, so we'll have to say a different svara here, right? But akoponim, just in order for us to understand this, that this is how we're going about it, and in a chanami, right? It should make a difference whether there's someone else in it, right? I didn't see, you know, that I'm quoting from anyone. So if you see it otherwise, then we have to start thinking otherwise.
Can we say that Hana is not getting benefit? Hana is a halachic thing? Like, there's halachic Hana?
Okay.
Like there's things that are asa b'Hana, but Rabbi Yitzhak Davis, that you can have a knife that's asa b'Hana, but you can take it and you can slaughter an animal that if you would have sold it for Harish, you would have made double the amount of money. So even though you're using the knife for Issa Bahana, it's an Issa Bahana knife, but that's not, it's not considered you got Hana from it. Because you're destroying the animal by shechting it, and you're causing it to go down in value. So Hana is not necessarily benefit in the respect of like, you, Hana is a halachic thing. Halachic Hana is because if I understood something that's asa b'Hana, you can't touch it at all. You can't use it under any circumstances. By using it, it's giving me Hana. So, but we see halachically, it doesn't work that way. Halachically, it's based on certain guidelines.
That's definitely, that's the first step. But we have to follow that thought through to see how that's going to help us over here. Right, but I hear what you're saying. Right, that's the, if we don't accept that, then we can't get off the ground. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk inside the moicher now. Right, that's what we want to see in the moicher. Right. So we were talking that the moicher, right, the moicher's hano of this is the fact that, you know, he's trying to sell the item. He wants the money rather than the item at this point, and that would be his hano. So the fact that he's undercharging, right? So we would try to understand it in the same way that, you know, even like you say, maybe he's still getting a profit, but the fact that there's someone else, right, that he would do better off, is that's why he's not considered being nana from this person.
You didn't do me a favor by buying from me. I could have sold it to the other guy at the full market value.
Right.
So you really hurt me by buying it from me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tzaddik. He wants to sell the Jews at a discount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Depends if he walks away upset or if he walks away happy.
Okay. Shlomo Zen. Now we'll see, because there's different stodim in the more that we have to try to understand. Okay, back upon the Mishnah, but definitely our Mishnah is telling us that a sale has a hano. There's both the moicher and the lekech are nana, and in order to negate that hano, if the loikeach is the one who can't be getting that nos, so he'll be paying, have to be paying more. And if the moich is one who can't be nene, so he'll have to sell it for less.
And one pruta does the trick.
Right, but I think we understand it right now, right? Because if the idea is that, you know, clap is what I could have done somewhere else, so, you know, the difference is the difference, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's see. So the Mishnah says, no, she didn't let me, so lekech b'yosim moicha b'pochus. She stole nen and li. Right? If he's answering others, he's lekech b'pochus u'moicha b'yosir. The question the gears over here is the ein shaymin loy. He's asking hano that Yisrael can't have hano from me, and if that's so, so if he is the lekech in the picture, so then the moicher doesn't have to sell it to him for cheaper. If he is the moicher in the picture, so he'll have to charge more, and that's why the Mishnah says that practically speaking, you know, he needs people to cooperate, right? So you can't necessarily expect that it should happen. It should happen like this.
Because you made a crazy deal, so I have to lose my.
Right. So I mean, theoretically, there's a way to get out of this, but it's not so practical. The next case in the Mishnah says, "Sheni nena lahen vehein li." Right, this is, you know, the right. This you can't get around, right? Because being that both are osir, so you know you only have one choice over here. Like, you know, if you want to adjust the price, right? But one is still going to be osir. Is zok the Mishnah yene la'akum? Yene la'akum.
What?
He should go be matter
neder
by a chacham.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that component. But so the Mor says that you know, in order to mimikaim this neder, you cannot buy and sell to a yid. Now let's just see over here this ran. Here, this ran over here. Jump to the bottom over here. Sheni nene lahen lahem vehem li yene la'akum.
The first wide line?
Third.
Yeah, okay. So, right. So some little different to a sadaf. Zok the ran. Kosav ha-rozal. Deho kamash melon. The chiddush of this is... So what he's asking over here is that... You know, why is the mission telling me this third bubble? We could, you know, add things together, and we could figure it out ourselves. All right, why is the mission have to state this bubble? Zokteran deloitema kiven de hachinotar. Don't say the following. Kiven de hachinotar yevshel lamed benitrei. Zokteran, shame the law that the chiddush over here is that because of this neder, now he can't buy from a yid anymore. V'havlek yahid ha'om le'el b'perkin el mutar, like we had before, shvosh le'ishin, shvosh yom imakin o'isei v'yoshin le'alter. The Mishnah says over there, by a shvosh le'ishin, it's a shvuas shov. The shvua is not chal akapon, right, to aser him, it's something that can't be done. Right, so that he gets machas because of the shua shav. But the point that we're looking for is that the shua is not chal to aser him, and that's why yoshin la'alter. Right, means he doesn't have to buy by the shua because the shua is not chal to aser him. The dav yevshin lamid behu. Oh, I'm sorry. B'hochin nami neima diyena la'alter. So one might have thought here also. Now, probably what we need to just get the proper context. See, for us today, it's very hard to relate to this idea, right? So apparently, that buying from a goy, you know, in the time of the mission was sounds like, seems like if something is very far removed. That's what he says. It's a takana rechayka, Right? So putting that into the proper...
Well, certain things, matzah, esrog, certain things you're not going to be able to get from the goyim. You won't be able to get from the goyim everything you need.
Okay.
So if you made a neder that you're never going to buy from a yid, you're never going to get hanah to a yid or get hanah from a yid, you're making it that it's impossible for you to continue living as a yid.
You're saying even b'zman is it? That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll have to think about those examples and see whether it would put us into the category of a davar sheyefshar lamed, right? This pashas refers to physical existence, right?
I mean, all of this only goes on the person you're directly buying from, right? Meaning, if you went and bought something from a goy, he got it from a yid, all at the market price, that would be mutter for you.
Huh? Right. Like you mentioned before, because you're asking the person, so you know the item itself, you know, it really has to do with where you're getting it from, right?
Yeah, but you could say so you would say is you're not benefiting from the Jew. The goy benefited from the Jew. You're benefiting from the goy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can have a goy as a middleman. You can have the goy buy stuff for you from the Jew.
That's
but it might become Yayin Nesach if he buys wine for you or different things. But he owns it.
I don't know if it's clue. Well, okay, fine. Let's get into that issue.
Yeah, this is the touchy issue.
If he touches it, it becomes a touchy issue.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what the Ran tells us over here. Kamashim lokiv ni ketakant va'akom achal pishu takan ruchay kuloy. Okay. So, you know, however. Putting in the proper context, right? It's takan ruchay, and it's something that one might have thought that it could fall into the category of davar sheyefshar. Okay, lomazen. Okay, now let's see the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. Omar Shmuel halakeh kli min ha'uman levakroi v'nenas biyodoi chayev. Okay, zok the Gemara. Mak Shmuel says the following halacha: halakeh kli min ha'uman levakroi. What this is referring to over here is referring to a situation a person is contemplating buying something. As a matter of fact, the Ran tells us that the Gemara in Bava Basra says that the price was already set, and he takes the item and he's just inspecting the item whether it's in good condition and planning to go ahead with the sale. The thing falls, whatever it is, and breaks. The halacha is chayiv. This person is chayiv. Zok the Gemara al makasava hanoas loykeyachi. Zok the Gemara that from the fact that he's chayiv, that tells me that in a sale. It's the hano of the lekech. Now we're going to get back. I just want to just get the tzura of the Gemara. Freti mora kasho tnan she'eni nenem Yisrael moicher bepochus. Our Mishnah Chari says not like that. Our Mishnah says that if a person makes a nedesh in Yisrael, the halacha is moicher bepochus. That if he's selling it, right, he's the moicher over here. He'd ask, he's one where I can't be nene. Avol b'shav b'shav aloy. V'yanos lekech yafilu shav b'shav. Ask some more a question. That from Shmuel, it comes out that in a sale, the lekech is the one who has the hano and not the moicher. Ask some more. Our Mishnah says not like that. Our Mishnah is very clear in our Mishnah. That both there's a hanoah both for the lekech and both for the moicher.
Why can't Shmuel hold that they both have hanoah? Just the fact that he had hanoah makes it that he's because it has to be sure that he has hanoah.
We're getting it. Okay, all right. So you're just setting up the outline of the Gemara, and now we have to. Now we have to deal with what you want to know. Right, very good. So let's. So what is the understanding of Shmuel's din? Where do we get this idea that it's a result of Shmuel that in a sale only the lekeach is the one who's nehen? So the first question over here is that what's the basis of this chiv? Chayv ba'insim. Chayv ba'insim. Let's see the Ram. Zaktiran over here in the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Halkeach Liminat Hagar, Venenas Biyodah Chayiv. The Gemara says, Hanas the Keachi. Zaktiran, Akim the Hosman Perk Svina, Bidikiti Domel. So Zaktiran, that there's one piece of information that we have to bring into our Gemara over here. The Gemara over there in Bava Basra says, that's Kitsi Domel. That the price was set. Hilkach samche daiti d'leikeach. Therefore, we have the smichas das of the leikeach. It means he's decided. Shimrot zelokchon harashus biyodai. That you know, if he wants to make the purchase, then there's nothing preventing him. Okay, v'kivon shekein chay ba'insin. Why? The bemekach kol hanolu lekeachi v'loy lemoicher v'havale kishoyel mishum de kol hanosha loy chayv bo'insim. Okay, let's hear what the Ran says and see if we could understand this. The Ran tells us as follows. Let's start from this side of things. That You know that the psukim tell us there's a parsha of shomim. The mission tells us that there are dalit shomim, gimel halachas. That shomim have different types of shomim. They have the shomim chinim, shomim socher, and the shoyel. Let's say right, socher where he fits in there, right. So the halacha is that a Shem Echim has limited responsibility, a Chayv Amshia, a Shem Esocha, and is Chayv Angriva Aveda, and the Shoyel is Chayv Afilu on Oinsim, right? Basically, he's Chayv Bakol, right? Now, the Gemara tells us that the reasoning why the Shoyel has this greater responsibility, that he's responsible even things which are not his fault. It's an onus. Because kol hanosha loy means that he's able to use the item and he's not even paying for it. Right? A soicher, a renter, granted he could use it, but he's paying for it. A shoyel is kol hanosha loy. So when someone relates to someone else's item with a kol hanosha loy, That the Torah considers that a situation where therefore your responsibility is for a full responsibility. That's what the Zechiyah of Mainzim. Okay, so that's the halacha of Shoyel. Now the Ran tells us that's the basis of Shmuel's halacha over here. That this person who's will consider he's holding by buying, he's a lekeach over here, he's considering buying. And he's inspecting the item, and it's nenas. This person, the reason why he's chayv on oinsim is because he has the halacha of a shoyel. Why do you have a halacha of shoyel? Because of kol hano shaloi. Now, it's a little difficult to understand exactly how that works. Because the way we understand what that means by shoyel is the fact that he has the right to use it, right? This person, I don't know if he necessarily has the right to use it. I mean, whatever he's inspecting it, maybe that there's a, he could maybe turn the appliance on and see how it's going. True. Maybe turn it on. Like, but to use it, I don't even he has the right to use it. Definitely not for his own benefit. Over here, so in that sense, the kol ano shaloi, he doesn't really have the kol ano shaloi, of a shoyel. Okay, that's one point in the question over here. But now our Gemara sees that he's chayv mitam shoyl. It's kol hanoah shaloi. So the Gemara, oh, I see that in a sale the loikeach is the one who benefits, right? As opposed to the moicher, kol hanoah shaloi. Now the Gemara is understanding in this context that were it to be, like our Mishnah seems to suggest, and that's what the Gemara is coming to ask, that were it to be that the moicher is also nena, there's a joint hano, so then the lekeach his benefit would not put him into the category of a shoyl, and he wouldn't be chayiv. So that's what the Gemara understands, that if he's chayiv, must be mitam shoyl. What's making him a shoyl? Kol hano shaloi. And were it to be that the moicher has hano in a sale, so he wouldn't be kol hano shaloi, he wouldn't be chayiv. Right? These are the steps that says in the Gemara, which is something which is a little difficult to understand how this all adds up. We're asking, first of all, the kol hano shaloi over here, you know, even if you want to talk about that, but it's not the kol hano shaloi that a regular shoyl has, so it shouldn't be sufficient to give him the responsibilities of a shoyl. That's one question. Now even if it were to be that, you know, we could deal with what we have over here, it also needs a little explanation that if the hano of the moicher would detract from his hano, so then I could hear that, you know, that by him having all the hano and not the moicher, no, that it's contingent. The moicher not having hano is why he has kol hano shaloi. But l'chor over here, whether the moicher is nen or not, l'chor has no bearing on his hano, l'chor, right? So why should that make a difference? You know, if the chiyuv of the shoyl, right? Maybe you can answer this, right? But just let's hear this question. If the kol hano shaloi means that you have something. You have a benefit from over here, and that benefit is a reason to have responsibilities. So, we should just measure. Do you have these? Because when we say kol hano shaloi, that simply means that you have you know, full reign, right? You have benefit, and because you're benefiting from it, that's why you're responsible on it. Now, the fact that someone else also has benefit doesn't detract, if it's not detracting from your benefit, right? So, if the fact that this is enough to make you responsible, so fine, you have what you need to make you responsible, right? Why does the fact that other person is being nene detract from your hano?
So, I would have thought. If the Rav was talking about our dinim of shvua, I have an idea that if you're getting hana, whether the other person is or isn't getting hana shouldn't affect you. But
okay,
here we're talking about an onus, right? And now we're trying to figure out, you know, well, who is the Torah going to fault? So. If it was that you were getting hana and the other person not, so the Torah is saying that you're responsible. If you're both getting hana, so then, you know, go okay. Back to the status quo that it belongs to the, you know,
and he be responsible? Responsibility? What would, if they both men, what would be the halacha?
I guess you could say yibi svara, but I think what we would say by, you know, we see by Hilchus Nezek, is that it stays at the status quo, is that the owner is the one that it remains, it hasn't left his rishus to put the responsibility on the on the borrower, right? Or let's say you have a socher, right? So in other words, the bad luck goes to the one who owns it.
Mm-hmm. So let's say like that. So what it would seem like over here, what we're saying over here is like this, is that, see, when a shoel is chayev, at, when the kolah nosha lois, see over there the simple understanding is that what I have from it, the point isn't so much that the one who gave doesn't have from it. I mean, someone who rents also doesn't have from it, right? So it's not so much the point that I have and you don't have. The issue is what I have from it, and according to the level of benefits that I have, that's a reason for responsibility. So, you know, if I would have full that degree of benefit from it, so fine, that, you know, that would be a reason to be mechayev. Over here, right, what we're definitely taking into account. And maybe it's taka because of the first question that we're asking, that the hano that we're talking about is not the same hano, the usage hano. That's not what we're discussing over here, right? We're really discussing the one who's benefiting from the sale, right? In the context of Agamor, right? In a sale, right? Who's benefiting, the seller or the buyer or both? So, if the hano that we're dealing with is in the outcome of the sale, so then if the other person is binana, so then, you know, what we're saying is that the kol hano shaloi translates over here a little bit differently than over there. The kol hano is in the sale itself. I have the full benefit. So, you know, if the moicher also has the benefit, so I don't have the full benefit. We both have the benefits, so we don't have what to be mechayev.
I mean, this seems like the way you're speaking it out. It's really a kasha on the Ron. Why does the Ron speak it out the way he speaks it out? He makes it sound like the issue isn't the hana of the sale. It makes it sound like the issue of the han is in the bedika. Meaning, when is he a shoel? He's not a shoel after the sale happens. He's a shoel kolo that the sale hasn't gone through.
Mm-hmm.
He makes it sound like the hana that he's getting is prior to the sale.
Okay, so that's another point. Another point that you're saying, right?
And the Gemara, right? The whole kasha of the Gemara seems like
the Gemara seems to be referencing the hano, right, of a loikeach when the sale goes through, already at this point, right, before the sale actually went through. What do you say about that, Shlomo?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So the comparison over here in the Gemara, is taka something which needs some work to understand properly how this works. Even before going to Shitas Rashi, I'm sure you're
I didn't look at Shitas Rashi.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, fine. Right. Right. So this Gemara, there's a correlation over here, but you know, we see what the Gemara is doing, and you know, the calculations, you know, if you just want to press the buttons, you know, we could do it. But to understand, you know, how it works, how the member of Shmuel works and how that relates to us is something which is a little bit difficult. This is like more like a mechanical question over here in the Lomdus, right? You know, how does this all work?
I don't think I've worked this through, but maybe what you're asking is like the beginning of the answer is that, you know, we're discussing, you know, who gets hana looking at the sale, right? But maybe the hana is just getting into the arrangement, you know, that's what we're discussing. At the end of the day, the two agree on a price and they do it, so neither that's considered hana either way. The hana is...
But how do you learn the kasha on the Mishnah? The Mishnah is talking about getting hana from a transaction.
Right, so that's what I'm saying, is that maybe it's not from the transaction, it's from the two of them getting together to work, you know, working on the transaction, and
in the Mishnah?
Yeah.
I guess you could adjust things like that. Right?
I mean, that takes away a lot of the problems of.
You know, we want to make the comparison, so you just adjust where the Hanoah is in our Mishnah. Right? It's really prior. It's not resulting.
Prior, and then adjusting the price gets you out of that. Have to think about that. Okay.
Okay. Something to think about. Yes, Akoponim. So this point of needs explanation how it works. But what we would like to take out over here is like this: is that right? It has to. But this Gemara seems to be saying that from Shmuel it would suggest that the lekeach is the nene in a transaction, right? So Akoponim, that much we could and should try to understand. We came to an understanding that in the Mishnah, when we went to Mishnah, how the lekeach and the moicher are a nene, and how by adjusting a price, you know, would make a difference. Now the Gemara is asking Akasha on Shmuel, right? Lechayer from our Mishnah, but what does Shmuel say, right? The Gemara is taking out from Shmuel that in a sale the lekeach is the nene, right? So how would you understand that? How would you explain that? Granted, maybe that's what's mukach and Shmuel is a klal no shaloi, but why is that so? Why is the lekeach the nene more so than the moicher? How would you explain such a thing? Right? If that was the given, right? Which the Gemara that's what the Gemara is understanding right now. We're saying Shmuel shreif mizkor. Shmuel saying that in a transaction the lekeach is the nene and not the moicher. But what was the problem there? Right? What was the problem? So how would you explain that?
Didn't have an explanation.
In the sale itself, we're going.
Let's go in the sale. Right? Let's talk about that. Right. Rabbi Leo, you worked on this. Probably this is a question that you would like to understand, right?
What if there would have been no oinus and the kli was not broken in Shas Abdika?
Mm-hmm.
Then what would be? Would it?
Then they would have gone through the sale.
Yeah, but would the lokeach still be the one who was nana in the bedika?
The Gemara talks about the nana sounds like it's from the sale, right? That's what the Gemara means.
Well,
right? It could be that the Gemara. But the reason why he's chayev for an oinus which happens during the bedika, because we're considering him already now the kol hano shaloi of a sale.
But wait, so then the Rebbe is saying that if the sale, if he decides, he tests it out and he decided he didn't want it, and then, got into a car accident, right? He was doing the test drive, and, he decided against buying the car, and then
At what point?
Test drive, at the beginning.
When did he decide he didn't want to buy it?
Well, he was...
Before the onus or after the onus?
Let's say he decided before the onus, and okay. Now he's returning the car, and someone smashes into the car on the way back to the dealer.
Right.
Uh-huh. So there's a rub making the assumption that... That he wouldn't be.
I would think so. I would relate that to the Gemara Bechazor, right? Gemara makes it in the Brisa. You saw the Brisa in the Gemara,
yeah.
Right? So
the difference between
right, that's you know when
oh, well, okay wait,
right
okay,
that's what, that right. The Shela ends at the point when you know when the, you decide that you're not going through the
right,
sale.
Right,
so there is definitely a point of change.
Okay.
Right.
So right now we just want to know like this that it's mevuyer that according to the Mara's understanding of Shmuel at this point we think that Shmuel is talking about a regular sale, right? And we're taking out the Shmuel that Shmuel holds that a regular sale the lekeach is the one who's benefiting and not the moicher. And we're just trying to understand that. Why is that so? I mean, both of them are in here for their own purposes, and each one is accomplishing what he wants to accomplish, and fine. So why is the lekeach more of an end than the moicher?
But I'm saying it's only because he broke it.
I don't think so.
Well, that's the case.
No, that's the case. But what the Gemara is taking out of is that there's a premise over here. The reason why he's chayv if it broke is because olekeach in the sale is he's the one who was nene, not the moicher. The olekeach is the nene. So all the hanoah that there is in the sale is on the olekeach's plate and not the moicher. That's what the Gemara Kinnir is taking out of Shmuel.
Maybe even though our Gemara doesn't say it, you could say this is only a case in Bekaitzi Dame, that because the Mocher set a price, and he had to essentially put himself out there first, he set a price, and now the Lokeach really now can evaluate based on what the Mocher did. He's got sort of a bit of the upper hand.
But like you alluded to, see, if you say to, if you depended on the specifics over there, then we might lose the Gemara's question, right? You know, the Gemara is asking as a question, right? That according to Shmuel, the halacha of our Mishnah shouldn't be. That's pretty much what the Gemara is asking, right? So we can't explain Shmuel's din because of certain specific things that are in his case, because that'll be the answer to the question.
Would there be a difference whether the lokeach is planning to buy it because it passed his bedika, or whether he was planning to return it and he had no intention to buy it because it didn't meet his standards or whatever he's looking for?
You're talking about Shmuel's din specifically?
Yeah, Shmuel's din specifically when it broke.
Right. So we're saying that it broke while the lokeach was still in the buying mode, right?
So does it make an afkamina whether he was planning to buy it at the end or right before it broke, or whether he was planning to return it?
I think so, right? If he had decided already that he doesn't want it,
he did want it.
What?
Maybe if he decided he did want it, what would be the situation?
He's also a potter.
Yeah, he, the she'ela is over. He decided he wanted it.
Now,
but maybe you could say that he's a now it's a Kenyan. Maybe you could decide. I don't know.
I mean, if the Kenyan would take place, then you're right, right, right. I was assuming, or I would be talking until the Kenyan. I've added once the Kenyan's made, then it's it's his, and then he assumes responsibility. Right, we're coming to say that before the actual Kenyan happens. Right, there's a responsibility, a show. We are on someone else's item. I have full responsibility on someone else's item. That's what we're discussing here.
All I'm asking is the shayla end only because he decides he doesn't want it, or even if he decides he wants it? The shayla was to make the decision.
I would say that should. I would think that the shayla lasts until it becomes his. Right, that's what I would think.
Oh, even if he decides to tell you he doesn't want it,
if he still wants it, what will end the shayla on that side of things is when he actually makes it his.
Okay,
that's what I would think. Well, what do you think on that?
I don't know. I had it thought to say the other way that if the shayla is based on that he's
in his decision making. The shayla has
there's something that he's getting out of the bedika, which is this decision-making process. Once that decision-making process is done, there's really no shayla anymore.
Like the Rebbe would agree that if he returned the car and plans to buy it now, right, and the accident happens
returns the car and then he changes his mind.
No, it doesn't change his mind. He hasn't paid yet, right?
What was the returning? What was the
he what's his name? He did a test drive,
right?
Goes back to the dealer.
Oh, okay.
Parks the car
while
there.
He's
showing
the
him
price.
There.
There's an owner in the parking lot.
Right.
It's not his problem.
Right.
That's what he's saying. Masking to that. He's saying that even though he has intention to buy it, the she'ela doesn't end at the purchase. The she'ela ended because he returned the item.
It depends whose rishus is in.
Right, so I'm saying if it's in the rishus of the dealer.
Okay, could be. Okay, I just want to tell you a possible maybe way of understanding what the Gemara held at this point. Right? And so what we're coming to explain right now is that it looks like from the Gemara that the Gemara understands that according to Shmuel, the halacha of our Mishnah should not be true, because our Mishnah says that it's hanos moicha and lekeach, and according to Shmuel, in a regular sale, it's only hanos lekeach and not moicha. Right? That's how I'm approaching this. Right? You know, if you want to think differently at this point, then
keep it to yourself for now. I'll say it. You know.
Okay. Akamana. Yeah. So possibly like this. Possibly like this, right? If, you know, if we need to give an explanation, it's not a difficult thing. So I mean, we might want to offer an idea, right? Maybe like this. That there is a difference between a moicher and a lekeach. Even though they both, you know, have their idea what they want, the lekeach, you know, wants the item, right? And he's wants to give the money for the item, and the moicher, on the contrary, is, you know, he doesn't have a need for the item, and he wants money, right, for the item. But there is noch als a fundamental difference, because money has no in intrinsic usage. Money is by you know, it's a means. That's what money is, right? So therefore, there's a difference between moich and lekeach. That lekeach, he is having his purpose, right, in the sale. His purpose, his final destination, right, is met in the sale. Or the moicher, his final destination, you know, the purpose of what he wants is not met. He might not have the means to buy his car that he wants to buy, and you know, and he can't take a ride, you know, in his tefuah. But when he sells the tefuah and he gets the money, he's on his way to something which is really the purpose. Right? So maybe that will be a way to explain how, if you know, if this is given to us, these facts that we're shown that in a mechira we see the lekeach as the benefit and the moicher not. Possibly that will be a way to explain why that's so, because the lekeach has met his final purpose, his destination. He's hungry, he needs to eat something. So when he pays something, he gets that food, he has what he wants. The moicher, right, in as much as that he wants the money, but the money is not his purpose, he wants the money for X.
But how would adjusting the price affect
that? Okay, very good, very good. Now, let's just to see if does that change our understanding in that? All we said right now is that we're only rechinzuch, right? We only consider the lekeach because what he has his final purpose. But what we said before, I think, should still be applicable, right? Because we always understood that he had a purpose. But we're saying, well, when we're comparing it to something else, the fact that he's paying more, right? That tells us that, you know, I'm not considering it for you, because I could have gotten something from my purpose from someone else at a cheaper price. The fact that I did with you, you know, just ended up damaging me because I had to pay more money. So I don't think that really should change. Right? What do you say, Michael?
The question was, Shmuel is saying all the hana is a lekeach, and the Mishnah says that they're both getting hana. You're saying...
So I'm just explaining, you know, what Shmuel seems to be saying at this point to the Gemara.
Right. The reason is because the money has no intrinsic value.
Right.
But the Mishnah says if you would make the price slightly higher, now all the hana would go to the mocher and not to the lokeach.
Oh, 1 second. What was
even
that?
Though,
Now. Is that what's happening? Is that what is happening? Assuming that a change of price would help. So is that supposed to shift now? That all I know is by the moicher, or by changing of the price, just talks to the hano of the lekeach that lekeach is not considered a nene, even though maybe he has the cause for the he's the only person who has the cause for the hano in a mechira. But if he's paying more, then that takes away the nene from this moicher, right? For the same reason that we said before. But I don't think we need to adjust the hano, put it onto the moicher. Right?
Well, the moicher has, when you do at the right price, the moicher has hano.
Well,
so he's for sure going to have hano.
But I thought according to Shmuel, it's not like that, right?
Oh, so this is what you want to say. Oh, according to Shmuel,
the more
when he pays
right
the equal
now,
price,
right,
only the lekeach is getting. Okay,
right.
Fine. So now you raise the price, and it takes, so even though his money still has no intrinsic value, and he really wants to make it, but by raising the price, it takes away his hana.
From the lekeach.
From the lekeach. I mean, I'm not saying the whole thing's wrong. I'm saying, but I'm not sure I fully
mm-hmm.
understand it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So is the Gemara assuming that he's saying that Lokeh has Hana always? The Gemara at this point is assuming that Shmuel's talking about a case where there was no adjustment of the price.
Right.
That doesn't mean that.
I'm asking to you that it's not really so clear that what according to Shmuel, Mordechai asking Kash, the Mishnah says not like Shmuel. Now, should the other facets of the Mishnah apply to Shmuel? I don't know if that necessarily has to be right. But I'm just saying that if you assume that it does, I think I could see why it would be like that. Okay.
Okay.
But that there's not necessarily a basis to that. Okay. So the Gemara seems to be asking like a contradiction between, let's say, Shmuel and the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that in regular sale, there's a hano that's related to the meicher and the lekeach, and Shmuel seems to be saying in a simple sale, the lekeach in halacha is considered, the lekeach is the nana and not the meicher. Kol hano. Right is by the lekeach. That's what how the Gemara is taking out of Shmuel. So let's just jump to the Gemara over here. We don't have to go through the back and forth of the Gemara. Zochti Gemara, Masnisim Bezvin Mitzir, the Shmuel Bezvin Charifa. The Gemara says there are two types of sales, maybe three types of sales. We'll see. Gemara talks about. But and that's how the Gemara is Miyashiv Shmuel with the Mishnah. Shmuel's talking about Gemara calls it Zvinim Tziyah. That means that the pricing is the market price, right? So that's the Mishnah, right? Masnisim Zvinim. So the Mishnah, we're back to what we said over here. Now Shmuel is talking about a Zvina Harifa.
So talk about Mitziyah. The bodek is not going to be chayav. It just
right
drops it. It's
right, exactly. That's what we're saying right now. Yeah. Right, we need the klan oshaloi, and the klan oshaloi, the type of sale that all the hano is by the lekeach is by a zvinach. Now, what does zvinach harifa mean? Right, zvinach harifa refers to, I guess we call it a hot item. Is that what we call it? What? Yeah, right. So it's something that as far as the moicher is concerned, right? Something that there's no difficulty from his side of things to sell it, right? Very easy to be sold, and on the contrary, it's something which is sought after, and a lekeach, you're.
So just subjective neutrality. I'm just curious. Forgetting about the price of eggs today versus five, we go back 10 years ago when eggs were a commodity. when eggs were, I mean, let's say they're still a commodity. When they were not, there was no issue in society about the price of eggs.
Right.
And, you go into a store and the normal thing is you open them up and you check to make sure none of them are cracked. Well, meanwhile, it slips out of your hands and it falls on the floor. Is this a mitziah that... Mitzvah that you wouldn't be chayev, or you'd say that
is that considered an onus? The case would be while you're opening it up, if you know, something falls on
right,
it.
However you describe onus, whatever it onus, it's an onus. It's an onus. It falls out of, you know, however it gets knocked out of your hands.
Right.
And the eggs crack. Is that considered a hot item? Because that you can always sell eggs. Or no, that's a mitzvah because there are lots of eggs available. They're selling them all the time. But that's just what I'm asking.
That's what I would think. I would think. Yeah.
If they're those scrambled.
What?
After that scrambled, they're pretty hot.
Okay, so let's just talk just for 1 minute, because I think it's getting a little late over here. So what the Gemara tells us is like this, that Avada and Shmuel, right, it's Mavur, that Shmuel's sale is something which is the Hanos Lekech, not Hanos Meicher. However, says the Gemara, Shmuel's not talking about a regular sale. Shmuel's talking about a specific sale that it's something which Mitzad the Meicher, you know, he has no problem in having it sold. But the Lekeach, right, this item is not necessarily so easy to get by, and you know if you're the one who chaps it, who gets it, you know you accomplish something. So that's what we mean over here in this situation. Now I think you see over here, right? Let's say mitzad the moicher, right? The reason why the moicher is not nena, right, it has to do with the fact that there are others, right? You know, involved in the picture. Right, so the fact that the larger picture has a bearing on the Hano, right, that's the Mavur from the Gemara, such an idea. Novos, that what's coming out of the Gemara is that has a bearing only by such a thing, which people are knocking on your door for it, right? The fact that there are other people to buy it, you know, that's not going to negate the Hano from the Moicher, right? Yeah. So that's what this Gemara means. Now let's hear about this. That the Gemara Taka, right? And this may be what you see. The Gemara before, right? In going through the Cheshbainis, the Gemara also talked about something which is. What was the classification of that? A zvina, which is koy ape, right? Which is something which on the contrary, it's hard for the moicher to sell, right? It's something that it's sitting on the moicher, right? He's having a difficulty selling it. You know, it's an item which is not sought after, right? So such an item is a benefit for the moicher to sell when he sells it. And on the contrary, such a thing like this for lekeach, right? It's no big deal. People, you know, this item people are trying to get rid of. So over there, it's the cheshbon is vaker, that the moicher is the nene, and the lekeach is not a nene. Now in the cheshbon of the Gemara, this is where you see this point that when the Gemara wanted to learn this in the Mishnah. And the adjustments of pricing would make a difference, right? So you see from the Gemara like that such a thing mean like this. Let's talk about what we're talking about right now. Let's say this zvina harifa, right? The zvina harifa, right, which is the hano of the lekeach. However, if the lekeach pays more, right, it's mevuir from the Gemara that already will take away the hano from the lekeach, right? The fact that he's paying more, even though it's a zvina harifa, but apparently it's something which could still get someplace else on a low level. I have to work out the technicalities over here. Now, what makes the harifa such a scarce item? So you know, so why are we able to reconcile with being able to get it someplace else? At a different price, but I just wanted to show you. But it's what you wanted to know. It is mevuyu in the Gemara, right? That both of these things. That in the case of a zvina harifa, which is which is the Hanos Loikeach, and the Koi the Ape, which is the Hanos Hamoicher, that if the pricing would be adjusted, that's Mivuf in the Gemara, that the Gemara held that would make a difference as far as to the net
so,
or not.
So Vino Harifa makes it that you don't care if you pay more, you pay less, it's always the benefit for the Loikeach?
No. What we're saying is that if the price is more, right? If lekeich is going to be paying more, then it will take away the hanof from the lekeich.
Where are you seeing that? Because our Mishnah is only talking about a case of mitzvah.
So that's the maskana. But in the cheshbon, the Gemara, when the Gemara wanted to say that. That piece that we skipped over here. So even though the Gemara asks it's not going to work out in the Mishnah, right? But you see that the Gemara in those cases in the Mishnah where it works. And the Rishonim talk about this. Right? The Rishonim say over here, Miu, right? He's talking about over here by Koy the Ape. Zokter Rosh Miu kishem moich bepochus ene nene to kula hay le romi al Ape. He happens to be going over here at this point. I think he says it on both, but he's going in the first time. The more man talks about the other case, the absent case, the roy alape, the romi alape. So over there, right, that's where the Rosh points out, because the Gemara wanted to learn that in the Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara didn't ask a question that, you know, so why does changing the price make a difference, right? So that means that we understand that as far as what we wanted to do at that point in the Gemara, the adjustment of the price would help me. Mm-hmm. So let's say he's talking about over here when it's Romi Alape, which is the Hanos Moicher. Right?
Right.
So on that the Rosh says,
even though the Moicher is paying less.
Miu, kishe Moicher bepachas, ene nene, to kule hai loy Romi Alape.
What does Romi Alape mean?
Alape means it's sitting on him.
Uh-huh. It's low demand.
Meaning, even though it's low demand, it still didn't justify the lowering of the price, and therefore, when he lowers the price, he's not getting any hana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's in the Salka Daitach, and the Maskana of the Gemara. So, would not say like that.
I think in the Ran says that the reason why the Gemara spoke all this to before, even though Mora knew that it wasn't, the questions that Mora asked are obvious, but the Mora spoke out to tell us these cheshbonos. So that means that these cheshbonos are not just a snakat, even though you're right, you know, you could have said, you know, if it didn't pan out, so then, you know, you have no hoichacha to that. But from the Ran, it would be mevuyer.
I hear.
Right, the Ran himself, right at the end over here, the Ran says, "Hanemik shnimka b'shava b'shava, av kinimka b'yoyisa afilus vina charifa, hano asmoicher v'lo lekeach."
B'chinimka
b'pochas afilus vina rom alape, hano as lekeach v'lo moicher. Hadein hu kol d'shmaita. Right, so that's so the Ran tells us that these.
Where's
the Ran? What?
Which
Ran? This Ran over here is the.
That's three lines down on the white line on Amud B.
Yeah, it's... I mean,